authorityresearch.com. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. Who can know it? By Dean Gocher. During the audio presentations, most quotations below have added information to make what the writer is stating clearer to understand. If you want the actual quotation, you need to get it from the written manuscript itself, since added information is bracketed but not noted by the speaker. The computer-generated voice mispronounces words and may speak foreign language at times. 1 John 2 verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. You cannot see your heart as being wicked, desperately wicked, because your lust for pleasure. What can I get out of this situation and or person or people for myself? Is standing in the way, justifying the hate. You cannot see your hate as hate. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It is man's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, to approach pleasure and avoid pain, which includes the pain, mental pain, which comes with missing out on pleasure, making pleasure the drive of life and its augmentation the purpose, with him doing what he feels like doing instead of doing what he is told, making doing right and not wrong subject to his flesh, to the world that stimulates it, and anyone manipulating it instead of subject to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, making doing his will instead of doing the Father's will the objective of life. He cannot see his heart as being wicked because his lust for pleasure is standing in the way, justifying the hate. Left to himself without restraint, as a disobedient child, he has the attitude of, you can't tell me what I can or cannot do. I can do what I want, when I want. We came into this world with that attitude, demanding everyone else take care of us. This makes us vulnerable to seduction, deception, and manipulation. Whoever a person perceives as helping him actualize his lusts, his self-interests, he tends to listen to and follow. Supporting, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying for them, resulting in them owning him. As long as he is getting or thinking that he is getting or going to get what he wants, what he is lusting after, he cannot see where they are taking him, that is, he cannot see the end result. It is his lust for pleasure that blinds him to where he is going. Without being told, he cannot know. Knowing by sense experience blinds him to the price he will pay in the end, blinds him to the outcome. Knowing by being told warns him of it. A seducer, deceiver, and manipulator, a facilitator of change, will not tell him of the end result, that is, tell him of his using him for his own pleasure, casting him aside when he no longer brings him pleasure, or someone else brings him more pleasure, or when he gets in his way, doing to him what he did to the Father for getting in his way, for listening to him instead. The Father, on the other hand, will tell him up front the cost of doing what he wants, when he wants, in order for him to do right and not wrong for his soul's sake. Faith is required of the person who does what he is told. No faith is required of him when he does what comes natural. Faith requires enduring and suffering, which includes doing without. The same amount of faith that was required of the two children in the garden in Eden is the same amount of faith required of you today. No one can have faith for you. You either have faith or you do not. That is, either you do what you are told or do what you want. You are the only one who can decide. When education, for example, becomes subject to the student's affective domain, to their sense experience, they will do what they want, when they want, that is, they will do wrong without having a guilty conscience. When it is subject to the student's doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, that is, from being told, when they do wrong, they will repent and do what is right, having a guilty conscience for doing wrong. At least that is the desired outcome. Which method of education, curriculum, or political system used in the classroom will determine the political system of the future. There is nothing in the creation that can change man's heart. Only an act of God himself can do it. When man refuses to be told, he will reject it. Psalm 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Proverbs 15 verse 32, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Our body produces a chemical called dopamine. It is emancipated or liberated into a small gap between nerves called a synaptic gap. Dopamine is associated with the sensation of pleasure. All of our nervous systems, touch, taste, sight, smell, and sound are associated with it. When we touch something, for example, that is pleasurable, a nerve dedicated to pleasure is stimulated. On sending that information to the brain by electric impulse, dopamine is emancipated into the synaptic gap between the first nerve and the next, resulting in the next nerve's receptor being stimulated to continue sending that information on to the brain. That something in the environment is pleasurable, where then specific nerves called dendrites emancipate dopamine in the brain, making us aware that something in the environment is pleasurable. It is then we look into the environment to discover what it is that stimulated dopamine. Upon finding it, we then move in the direction of the item in order to gain control over it, all in the hope of it continuing to stimulate more dopamine in us. When it no longer stimulates dopamine, or something else does, or it gets in our way, we cast it aside, doing to it what we did to the father for getting in our way. The same being true for someone else, casting us aside when we no longer stimulate dopamine in them or get in its way. The love of the father is toward you. The lust of the flesh is toward dopamine. The father will chasten you in order to get you off the drug of dopamine, in order for you to do right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth for your soul's sake, while those of and for the world will justify your lusting after dopamine in order to own you, in order to use you as natural resource for their own pleasure, casting you aside when you no longer serve their purpose, that is, when you no longer bring them pleasure, stimulate dopamine, or get in their way. John 12 verse 43. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. God created us with dopamine that we would enjoy His creation, not that we would worship it instead of Him. It is when we are told we cannot do something that stimulates dopamine, or told to do something that stimulates pain, which in our mind results in us missing out on dopamine, and we do it or think upon doing it, that it is called lust, where we either do what we are told and miss out on dopamine or disobey in order to enjoy it. The child is not in love with the toy. He is in love with the dopamine the toy is stimulating. Just thinking upon it stimulates dopamine, called the imagination of the heart. The lust of the flesh is our natural propensity to lust after pleasure, after dopamine. There are other chemicals our body naturally produces that we lust after, but dopamine is the big one, doing what comes naturally to us instead of doing what we are told. The lust of the eyes is our looking into the environment to find out what it is that stimulates dopamine, or our imagining it, focusing upon it, making it the purpose of life instead of doing what we are told. The pride of life is our controlling of the environment, that is, the object, people, or person that stimulates dopamine in order to experience dopamine the rest of our life, which includes the praises of men. Genesis 6 verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Matthew 24 verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Luke 17 verse 26, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. It is not that dopamine is bad in and of itself. We do fix up our room or our property, have pictures of our loved ones in order to experience it. It is when it becomes more important to us than doing what we are told, it becomes a choice. All habitual drugs are associated with dopamine, some imitating it, others stimulating it, and others preventing its reuptake. The problem with dopamine, which our mind lusts after, is it is temporary. It is there in the synaptic gap for just a moment in time, requiring something imagined or real to stimulate it again. That is why the drug addict is so quickly intoxicated with it, addicted to it, and possessed by it, doing whatever it takes to experience it again. Living for the eternal present blinds him to where he will spend eternity when he dies, his flesh and the world that stimulates it being more important to him than his soul. While the Father tells us what to do for our soul's sake, doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, being held accountable when we do wrong, those of and for the world use our natural inclination to lust after dopamine that the world stimulates, called stimulus response, so they can use us for their own pleasure. It is here we choose between faith and sight, spirit and flesh, doing the Father's will or our own, doing what we are told or doing what we want. Without the Father, all we have is stimulus response, that which is of the flesh, that which is of the world, lusting after pleasure, dopamine, hating restraint, dying in our sins. The soul which is eternal is of the Father, the flesh which is of the world, passing away. While the earthly father is subject to dopamine, using his God-given office to please himself instead of doing God's will, it is not the office that is at fault, as those of and for the world espouse, it is his use of it to please himself, using and abusing those under his authority, or MIA or AWOL in his lusting after dopamine instead of doing what he is told, not as man tells him but God. Those of and for the world falsely generalize that all fathers are as Hitler, when the truth is Hitler destroyed the father's authority in the home, as all acts of socialism does. 1 John 2 verse 18, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Proverbs 16 verse 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When it comes to behavior, when you exclude the Father, this is the key to understanding the dialectic process and the so-called New World Order. You cannot see it or know it until someone points it out. All you have is your carnal nature, your lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint from which to establish right and wrong behavior. You're not being told that lust is a sin makes lust a need to be satisfied, resulting in you justifying yourself, your lusts, thus justifying your hatred toward restraint, toward anyone getting in the way or threatening to take away that which stimulates dopamine. Without being told, you will not know. Without being held accountable, that is, without fear of judgment, condemnation, being cast out, thus having a guilty conscience for doing wrong, you will not listen. When education, by federal mandate, removed the father's authority, that is the fear of God from the classroom in the 50s, which will be covered farther down in this issue, replacing him with the student's lust for pleasure, that is their lust for dopamine, the nation was changed. Once on the drug, it is difficult, if not impossible, to get them off. Our framers did not get rid of the king, that is the father's authority, they placed it in the home with the Bill of Rights, with the father raising up his children to know right from wrong, even if he was wrong, from being told, creating a guilty conscience in the next generation of citizens when and if they did wrong. By education coming between the father and his children, following after the same pattern or method that was put into practice in a garden in Eden, the children were liberated from their father's authority. From then on, addicted to pleasure, following after the lawless one, the master facilitator of change. This is what Immanuel Kant meant by lawfulness without law, where the law of the flesh, lust for dopamine, replaced the father's authority, that is the law of God. Immanuel Kant, Critique of Judgment. Leave the father's authority out of the classroom and the world is changed. You will not see it. Who can know it without being told? Romans 7 verse 7, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Romans 3 verse 20. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Proverbs 4 verse 1, hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Hosea 4 verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Romans 1 verses 28 to 32, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Knowledge of the Father comes by being told. Without being told, we do not know of the Father. We can only know of ourself, our lust for pleasure, our lust for dopamine and the world that stimulates it. Wilfred Bion, Prevent Someone Who Knows from Filling the Empty Space. Wilfred Bion, A Memoir of the Future. The empty space is you talking to yourself in the moment, with dialogue being used to justify yourself instead of discussion, where the father has the final say. The change agent's agenda is to prevent discussion, that is to prevent the father from having the final say or any say at all. Georgie Lukacs, The central problem is to change reality, reality with its obedience to laws. Georgi Lukacs, History and Class Consciousness. What is Orthodox Marxism? When it comes to behavior, when you start with the child's feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world is stimulating, instead of with what the father says, behavior becomes subject to the child's carnal nature, subjective, justifying the child's rejection of the father's authority, objective truth. It is a subtle change, leaving what the father says out when it comes to behavior, but it has major ramification. It is what happened in a garden in Eden. Bloom's taxonomies, by which all educators of certified and schools accredited today, Lawrence Kohlberg's dilemma questions, Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of felt needs, et al. Are all established upon the child's carnal nature, rejecting the father's authority when it comes to behavior. You cannot see it unless someone points it out. Your lust for pleasure, for your flesh, blinding you to your need for the father, for your soul's sake. Matthew 4 verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When you use dialogue, how you feel and what you think, that is what you like and what you do not like when it comes to behavior. We have all taken that spectrum test from I hate, I do not like, I have no opinion, I like, and I love. It is what marketing is all about these days, called feedback loops. You leave God out, rejecting God and his word having the final say. The hallmark of Marxism is leaving the father out, that is rejecting the father's authority when it comes to behavior, making your self-interest the focus of life, making lust for dopamine the drive of life and its augmentation the purpose. When it comes to defining and establishing behavior, when you use dialogue where you have the final say instead of discussion, where the father has the final say, you make behavior subject to your carnal desires instead of subject to what the father says. You cannot see it without someone pointing it out. The following sounds right until someone tells you what is being left out. The father, that is what the father says. Dialogue, when it comes to behavior, deals with the flesh, with the here and now, with you having the final say. Discussion with the soul, with the here and now and the there and then, with the father having the final say. Douglas McGregor, 1. All human behavior is directed toward the satisfaction of needs. 2. The individual will change his established ways of behaving for one of two reasons, to gain increased need satisfaction or to avoid decreased need satisfaction, and 3. Augmentation in the possibilities of need satisfaction. Douglas McGregor, as quoted in Kenneth Benny, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. Karl Marx. Science is only genuine science when it proceeds from sense experience, in the two forms of sense perception and sensuous need, that is, only when it proceeds from nature. Karl Marx, Mega I/3. Karl Marx, rejecting the father's authority and thus rejecting lust as being a sin, simply redefined the lust of the flesh as sensuous need, the lust of the eyes as sense perception, and the pride of life as sense experience, making only that which is of the world or only that which proceeds from nature all there is, thus justifying his propensity to lust after pleasure and hate restraint, sin and lust simply being human nature. Carl Rogers. Experience is, for me, the highest authority. Neither the Bible nor the prophets, neither the revelations of God can take precedence over my own direct experience. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist View of Psychotherapy. When you make behavior subject to science, that is subject to stimulus response. When you make the mind subject to the body, psychomotor, you make behavior subject to the world, rejecting the father's authority, that is rejecting being told what is right and what is wrong behavior. You can only have one or the other. You cannot have both. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Matthew 6 verse 24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Romans 6 verse 16, know ye not, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? 1 Timothy 6 verses 20-21, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. For the Marxist, having rejected the Heavenly Father's authority, the only way to negate the Heavenly Father's authority is to negate the Earthly Father's authority, that is, destroy the traditional middle-class home, where the Father's authority is honored. Karl Marx. Once the earthly family is discovered to be the secret of the Holy Family, the former must then itself be destroyed in theory and in practice. Karl Marx, fourth thesis on Feuerbach. For man to sin, that is lust, without having a guilty conscience, the Father's authority must be negated, no longer considered, in the person's thoughts, directly affecting his actions. It is through the use of dialogue, I feel and I think, when it comes to defining and establishing behavior, which does not recognize the Father's authority, that a person's paradigm, that is his way of feeling, thinking, and acting toward his self, others, the world, and authority is changed. You cannot see it happening to you, your change in paradigm, because you are getting what you wanted, what the Father's authority got in the way of. Carl Rogers. Prior to therapy, the person is prone to ask himself, what would my parents want me to do? During the process of therapy, the individual come to ask himself, what does it mean to me? While the Father makes doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth the focus of life, the facilitator of change, makes the satisfaction of needs. That is a person's lust for pleasure the focus of life. Thus, he is able to gain control of the person by offering to help him actualize his lusts, being then able to use him to satisfy his own needs. That is his own lusts. This is why those of and for the world, when it comes to behavior, focus upon dialogue, where feelings, that is where lust for pleasure controls a person's thoughts, instead of upon discussion, where what the Father says, doing right and not wrong according to what they have been told, controls a person's thoughts. The facilitator of change cannot control the people in order to use them as natural resource, called human resource, to satisfy his own needs, to satisfy his own lusts, as long as the people are doing what the Father says. Not until the facilitator of change can get the people to focus upon their own needs, their lusts, can he own them, with them from then on, following after, serving, protecting, defending, praising, worshiping, and even willingly dying for him for justifying their lusts, that is their needs, instead of doing what the Father says, that is doing the Father's will. The facilitator of change, perceiving his self as being the personification of the people, who, like him, lust after the carnal pleasures of the moment the world stimulates, hating restraint, sees it as his duty to justify the people's natural inclination to lust after pleasure in order to justify his natural inclination to lust after pleasure. When you question the facilitator of change's actions, he will respond with, it is not just about you, really meaning it is all about me, so I can lust after pleasure without having a guilty conscience, with your affirmation. If you refuse to affirm me, that is my lusts, or get in my way, the people will remove, negate you, since having justifying their lusts, I now own them. It appears I must keep an eye on you from now on for my good. This is the true meaning of sight-based management. All the facilitator of change has to do in a positive environment, that is, in an environment which will not judge, condemn, or cast you out for lusting after pleasure or for being wrong, is ask you how you feel and what you think regarding the commands, rules, facts, and truth you have been taught that get in the way of your carnal desires, especially when it comes to behavior, and the facilitator of change owns you. This applies to all who participate in the facilitated dialoguing of opinions to a consensus process, establishing lust over and therefore against the Father's authority. It is not what is, that is what the Father says, that control your flesh, but how you feel, that is what seems to be. Carl Rogers. The words seem to are significant. It is the perception which functions in guiding behavior. Carl Rogers, On Becoming a Person, A Therapist View of Psychotherapy. A federal grant. During the period of innovation, that is, during the period where you are able to think and do what you want, that is how you feel, without fear of being judged, condemned, and or cast out, an environment is invisible, that is, you cannot see the change that is taking place. The present is always invisible because the whole field of attention is so saturated with it. It becomes visible only when is has been superseded by a new environment. Federal Education Grant, December 1969, Behavior Science in Teacher Education Program, commonly referred to as BSTEP. The book 1984 was written in response to this federal grant, the benchmark of all federal grants today. What seems so benign at first can have dire consequences. It simply makes federal money subject to the lusts of the people, thus subject to those offering to help them actualize their lusts, no longer subject to the restraints of the Constitution, to the Bill of Rights, shifting communication from discussion, where the father has the final say to dialogue, where the people's feelings of the moment, controlled by their perception of the immediate situation, have the final say, with those offering the grants taking ownership of the people. This is the military establishment President Eisenhower warned us about, now being applied to all walks of life, making the people, that is, the people's money subject to the grant writers and the contractors that serve them, funding their fancy houses, fancy cars, fancy boats, fancy trips, hanging around fancy women and fancy men, living off the people's money in order to do so, making the citizens their servants. Karl Marx. To enjoy the present reconciles us to the actual. Karl Marx, Critique of Hegel's Philosophy of Right. When it comes to behavior, when you leave the father's authority out so you can do what you want, you are no longer protected by the father. You are now servant to the one who talked you into rejecting the father's authority. In your lust for pleasure, that is your self-interest, he owns you. Relationships built upon self-interest, upon lust, upon what can I get out of this situation and or these people or this person for myself, is the hallmark of Marxism, which requires the negation of the father's authority in order, as in New World Order, for them to do wrong, disobey, sin, to lust after pleasure, that is for them to enjoy the present without having a guilty conscience. With them no longer being judged, condemned, being cast out, that is being rejected by others for their carnal thoughts and carnal actions. Since their relationship with others is built upon the same ideology, that they can do what they want without being held accountable, they can kill the unborn, kill the elderly, kill the innocent, kill the righteous, that is, they can remove anything that gets in the way of pleasure with the other persons of the people's affirmation. As long as it is done in the name of the people, it is their right, their duty. It is a sad day when you have to explain Marxism in order to explain what is happening in America today. 2 Peter 2 verse 3, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. If I can find out what you are coveting, what you are lusting after, what you are dialoguing with yourself about, and offer to help you attain it, I own you. Psychotherapy is built upon this ideology. Carl Rogers, a master psychotherapist, explained how. Carl Rogers. If we have the power or authority to establish conditions, the predicted behaviors, our potential ability to influence or control the behavior of groups will follow. We can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. We know how to change the opinions of an individual in a selected direction, without his ever becoming aware of the stimuli which changed his opinion. We know how to influence the behavior of individuals by setting up conditions which provide satisfaction for needs of which they are unconscious, but which we have been able to determine. We can achieve a sort of control under which the controlled, though they are following a code much more scrupulously than was ever the case under the old system, nevertheless feel free. They are doing what they want to do, not what they are forced to do. By a careful design, we control not the final behavior, but the inclination to behavior, the motives, the desires, the wishes. The curious thing is that in that case, the question of freedom never arises. Until I create an environment that is a safe place, zone, space where you can share what you are lusting after, what you covet without fear of being judged, condemned, being cast out, you will remain subject to the father's authority. You will remain subject to the fear being judged, condemned, being cast out for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting after pleasure instead of doing the Father's will. It is what the master psychotherapist did with the woman in the garden in Eden, replacing "thou shalt surely die" with "ye shalt not surely die," creating a safe place so she could do what she wanted with Adam's affirmation, that is, with his participation. Matthew 7 verses 21 to 23. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. All teachers are certified in schools accredited today, including Christian, based upon their use of curriculum in the classroom known as Bloom's Taxonomies. Benjamin Bloom, et al. Bloom's Taxonomies are a psychological classification system used to develop attitudes and values which are not shaped by the parents. The student must feel free to say he disliked having to do what he is told to do and not have to worry about being punished for his reaction. A large part of what we call good teaching is the teacher's ability to attain effective objectives through challenging the student's fixed beliefs. The effective domain is, in retrospect, a virtual Pandora's box. Pandora's box is a mythological story of a box full of evils, which once opened cannot be closed. Once parental authority, the father's authority, fear of being judged, condemned, being cast out for doing wrong, disobeying, sinning, for lusting after pleasure instead of doing what you are told, one, the lid is removed, it is difficult, if not impossible, to put it back on again. Bloom continued, "The affective domain contains the forces that determine the nature of an individual's life and ultimately the life of an entire people." David Krathwohl, Benjamin S. Bloom, Taxonomy of Educational Objectives, Book 2, Affective Domain. The teacher does not have to tell the students to attack their parents' authority when they get home, if they were not doing that already. All they have to do is open up Pandora's box. That is, create a safe space, zone, place in the classroom where the students can share their lusts of the moment without fear of being judged, condemned, or being cast out, and the students will automatically attack their parents' authority when they get home. Psalms 36 verses 1 to 4, "The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes, until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise, and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil." Psalms 10 verses 3 and 4, "For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." 2 Timothy 3 verses 2 to 5, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. The unregenerate heart is loyal to the flesh, to the lusts of the moment that the world is stimulating, not to the Father who gets in its way." Galatians 5:19-21. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Karl Marx called the wickedness of our, that is his heart, critical criticism, where we dialogue with ourself our lust for pleasure and hatred toward restraint. Karl Marx. Not feeling at home in the sinful world, critical criticism must set up a sinful world in its own home. Critical criticism is a spiritualistic lord, pure spontaneity, actus purus, intolerant of any influence from without. Karl Marx, the Holy Family. What he is saying, since all mankind is immoral, what gives a person the right to judge, condemn, cast another person out, that is, fire him or not even hire him because of his immoral behavior? Therefore, the objective of life, according to Karl Marx, is to do what comes natural to a person, to create a world of pleasure, removing that which gets in the way, since he is already do that in his mind, lusting after pleasure, hating restraint. Critical criticism, critical thinking, critical race theory, all being the same as hatred toward the father's authority being put into praxis. Karl Marx, criticism is now simply a means. Indignation is its essential pathos. denunciation its principal task. Criticism is criticism in hand-to-hand combat. Criticism proceeds on to praxis. The critique of religion, Karl Marx's hatred toward the father's authority, ends with the categorical imperative to overthrow all conditions in which man is a debased, enslaved, neglected, contemptible being, that is, man being called a sinner, thus being judged, condemned, cast out for his carnal thoughts and carnal actions, that is, for his immoral behavior. Karl Marx's critique of Hegel's philosophy of right. It is therefore essential for the Marxist to find what a person is secretly talking to himself about and allow him to express it. The very act itself requires the negation of the father's authority. Theodor Adorno. The individual may have secret thoughts which he will under no circumstances reveal to anyone else if he can help it. To gain access is particularly important, for here may lie the individual's potential. Theodor Adorno, the authoritarian personality. First, you have to identify what it is he wants, that he is lusting after that authority is standing in the way of. This is even true for the Christian. Karl Marx. The unspeculative Christian also recognizes sensuality as long as it does not assert itself at the expense of true reason, that is, of faith, of true love, that is, of love of God, of true willpower, that is, of will in Christ. Not for the sake of sensual love, not for the lust of the flesh, but because the Lord said, increase and multiply. Through the use of generalization, using fruit trees as an example, Karl Marx explained how the believer can be seduced, that is, pulled into compromise, setting aside his faith in order to get along with others in order to do or get what he wants, what the Father is preventing him from doing or having. It is not sensuality which is presented, but the attraction of what is forbidden. Karl Marx, the Holy Family. Rejecting the Heavenly Father's authority outright, Karl Marx claimed the Heavenly Father's authority was a result of the child honoring his earthly father's authority. Karl Marx. The life which he has given to the object sets itself against him as an alien and hostile force. Karl Marx, Mega I 3. Only by negating the earthly father's authority, negating the child having to do right and not wrong according to the father's establishing commands, rules, facts, and truth, having to do the father's will or else, can the child become himself, lusting after pleasure, hating restraint? When the child justifies his self, his self-interest, his lusts in a group, hatred toward restraint becomes critical, not just in thought but also in action. Kurt Lewin. The group to which an individual belongs is the ground for his perceptions, his feelings, and his actions. Kurt Lewin, Resolving Social Conflicts. Selected Papers on Group Dynamics wrote. Kurt Lewin. It is usually easier to change individuals formed into a group than to change any one of them separately. The individual accepts the new system of values and beliefs by accepting belongingness to the group. Kurt Lewin in Kenneth Benny's book, Human Relations in Curriculum Change. Kurt Lewin. The child takes on the characteristic behavior of the group in which he is placed. He reflects the behavior patterns which are set by the adult leader of the group. Kurt Lewin in Wilbur Brookhover's book, A Sociology of Education. Kurt Lewin. Change in methods of leadership is probably the quickest way to bring about a change in the cultural atmosphere of a group. Any real change of the culture of a group is, therefore, interwoven with the changes of the power constellation within the group. Barker, Dembo, and Lewin, Frustration and Regression. An Experiment with Young Children in Child Behavior and Development. Luke 16 verse 15, And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Jürgen Habermas. In the dialogic relation of recognizing oneself in the other, they experience the common ground of their existence. Jürgen Habermas, Knowledge and Human Interest, Chapter 3, The Idea of the Theory of Knowledge as Social Theory. Discussion is of the father, with the father having the final say, while dialogue is of the child, with the child justifying his self, his lust for pleasure and his dissatisfaction, resentment, or hatred toward restraint, having the final say. Bohm and Pete. In an ordinary discussion, people usually hold relatively fixed positions and argue in favor of their views as they try to convince others to change. A dialogue is essentially a conversation between equals. The spirit of dialogue is, in short, the ability to hold many points of view in suspension, along with a primary interest in the creation of common meaning. Bohm and Pete, science, order, and creativity. I like to put it this way. In discussion, God is God. In dialogue, you are God. Discussion. What the Father says restrains dialogue. What I want. Doing my will, dialogue, where I have the final say, versus doing the Father's will, discussion, where the Father has the final say. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalms 119 verse 11. In other words, discussion, what the Father says, have I hid in mine heart, that I might not do what I want, dialogue with myself, thus not do the Father's will. When it comes to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior, when you make discussion the thesis, where the Father has the final say, the child's carnal nature automatically becomes the antithesis, that is that which is restrained, preventing dialogue, the child having the final say. This prevents synthesis, the consensus process which depends upon dialogue, where right and wrong behavior is subject to the child's carnal nature, not subject to what the Father says. When you make the dialogue, where the child has the final say, the thesis, you make the Father's authority, discussion the antithesis, negating the Father's authority when it comes to building relationship with others, opening up the door for synthesis where, in consensus, the child's carnal nature becomes the standard from which to define and establish behavior, making all children one and the same, subject only to their carnal nature, subject only of the world. This is the basis of all therapy, based upon the language of I feel and I think, liberating the child from the Father's authority so he can do wrong, disobey, sin, that is lust after pleasure and hate restraint without being judged, condemned, or cast out, removing all who get in his way, including the unborn, the elderly, the innocent, the righteous, without having a guilty conscience, that is with all the other children's affirmation. Therapy, that is through the use of dialogue, I feel, and I think, defining and establishing behavior, liberates the child from the Father's authority, liberates man from godly restraint. It is what happened in a garden in Eden, where the master therapist, removing the negative, that is what the Father said, insisting upon the positive, that they could share how they felt and what they thought without fear of being judged, condemned, or being cast out, helped two children justify their lusts, liberating their self from the Father's authority, so they could do what they wanted without someone telling them what they could or could not do. Dialogue is loyal to that which was formed from the dust of the ground. Discussion to the Father's authority. The soul knows from being told, making it subject to the Father. The flesh knows by sense experience, making it subject to stimulus response. Genesis 2 verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. When God created man, he did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He made him a living soul. He then did something which he did with nothing else in the creation. He told him what was right and what was wrong behavior and the consequence for disobedience. Genesis 2 verses 16 and 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Only man can be told or tell others what is right and what is wrong behavior. Only man can read or write a book. All the rest of the creation is based upon stimulus response. For living organisms, approach pleasure and avoid pain. Nothing in the creation can dialogue with man. Relationship is based upon dialogue, upon I feel and I think, upon our opinion, our perception, with us having the final say. Fellowship, on the other hand, is based upon discussion, upon what the Father says, with the Father having the final say. There was nothing in the creation for Adam to dialogue with. To do so with God would make him equal with God. Genesis 2 verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Taking dialogue, where you have the final say, into the realm of discussion, where the Father has the final say, replacing what the Father says with how you feel and what you think, making you God over what is his. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Genesis 3 verses 1 to 6. Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Is a neurolinguistic construct, an embedded statement in a question, a tool used in hypnosis, bringing dialogue, what the woman was lusting after up to the surface of her thought, making it equal with discussion, with what the father said, thus bringing up, neither shall ye touch it. Her self-interest became her focus of life, simply requiring the master facilitator of change to create a safe place zone, space where she did not have to fear being judged, condemned, being cast out for her thought of the moment. Ye shall not surely die, with her from then being able then to evaluate the situation for herself, from her carnal nature, recognizing the forbidden tree was just like the rest of the trees, except in her evaluation of it making her now God, deciding for herself what was right and what was wrong behavior. The moment the woman used dialogue when it came to behavior, the master facilitator of change knew he owned her. No need for her to repent, since in dialogue she was God. Never wrong, just needing to do things better next time if anything goes wrong. Adam, in order to continue relationship with her, followed after with her, rejecting fellowship with God. When caught, Adam and the woman blamed someone else. Adam, it is not my fault, it is this woman's fault. It is also your fault for creating her, for creating an unhealthy environment for me to live in. The woman, it is not my fault, it is the master facilitator of change's fault for talking me into doing what I wanted. Genesis 3 verses 12 and 13, And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The formula, find out what it is you are lusting after, what you are dialoguing with yourself about. Create a way for you to attain it, coming between you and what you are lusting after. Offer to help you attain it. I then gain your trust with you supporting me in helping you get what you want. I then own you in that you created a world, by letting me control your outcome, your education, your job opportunities, your next term in office, etc., where you cannot get what you want, what you are lusting after without paying me. It is called marketing. You cannot buy or sell without paying me. I have bought and sold your soul with your approval, your affirmation, since you are getting what you want. It is what drug pushers do. That is the power of dialogue, of lust, of dopamine when it comes to defining and establishing right and wrong behavior. Whoever defines terms for you controls your life. I do not have to tell you how to think and act. All I have to do is help you justify your carnal desires, and you will do what I want. Like Thorndike's chickens, Skinner's rats, and Pavlov's dog, you have become human resource, to be used as natural resource to satisfy my own carnal pleasure, with you serving, protecting, praising, and worshiping me for doing so. When the affective domain is used as the curriculum in education, that is the outcome. The Lord's response. Jesus always did what the Father said. It is written. He never went to dialogue, I feel and I think. John 5 verse 30, Jesus said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. John 12 verses 47 to 50, For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Matthew 12 verse 50, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, and sister, and mother. Matthew 7 verse 21, Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 23 verse 9, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. 2 Timothy 4 verses 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. James 4 verses 1 to 3, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. While the heavenly Father, being not of the flesh, is not subject to dopamine, we, being of the flesh, are having to choose between either denying ourself, that is not yielding to our natural inclination to lust after dopamine, doing his will, or feeding our lust for dopamine, doing our will instead. This is where the difference between spirit and flesh come in. Spirit, not as man calls spirit, such as team spirit, which is tied to dopamine, is that which is external to us, that does not in and of itself stimulate the emancipation of dopamine in us. Spirit is thus doing right and not wrong according to established commands, rules, facts, and truth, from now on referred to as being told, and is not subject to the flesh, to stimulus response. It is known as objective truth being told, which requires faith. Flesh, on the other hand, is always subject to dopamine, making it subject to the world that stimulates it, and anybody manipulating the environment, engendering subjective truth. What is the right thing to do according to what I have been told? Is replaced with what can I get out of this situation and or object, people or person for myself. Discussion divides between those being or doing right and those being or doing wrong according to what you have been told, knowing from being told, which is formal, judgmental, either or, where the Father retains his authority, has the final say, because I said so, nevertheless, it is written. Majority vote retains the Father's authority system, although the person might lose on the particular issue, where doing or being right and not wrong according to a fixed position is the issue at hand. In discussion, doing wrong according to what you have been told engenders a guilty conscience, along with judgment, condemnation, and being cast out if you do not repent and do what is right, do what you are told. With man, since man is not always right, this is a problem. With God, since God is always right, this is not. Dialogue divides against those who insist upon discussion, doing the Father's will, causing division, and for those who base behavior upon their own carnal nature, uniting upon feelings, upon what they have in common with I feel and or I think being their means of communication, which is an opinion, informal, non-judgmental, where the child retains his carnal nature, has the final say. There is no Father's authority in dialogue or in an opinion, or in the consensus process. There is only the child's natural inclination to lust after pleasure and hate restraint being expressed and justified. Dialogue moves opinions to a consensus, negating the Father's authority and the guilty conscience it engenders in the process. Dialogue is liberté from the Father's authority, since there is no Father's authority in dialogue, égalité, since all are entitled to their opinion, and fraternité, since the outcome is consensus, where everyone's feelings are in harmony. It is the means by which absolutes are replaced with relativity. The Father's authority is replaced with the child's. Lust for pleasure and resentment toward restraint, it is the meaning of tolerance of ambiguity. When it comes to behavior, you have to suspend the Son of God, Jesus Christ, upon a cross, since he was obedient to the Father in all things commanded, demanding you do the same, in order to dialogue, in order to find common ground with an unbeliever. While you might deny that that is what you are doing, you cannot refute it. That is what you are doing. Like so-called science, when dialogue is used to develop the issue of discussion, discussion becomes so-called or seems to be discussion, not a true discussion, deceiving the innocent and the naive. The patriarchal paradigm, way of feeling, thinking, and acting toward self, others, the world, and authority is grounded upon discussion, where the Father has the final say. The heresiarchal paradigm of change is grounded upon a person's feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world is stimulating, where the child has the final say. Language, how we communicate with ourself and with others, which paradigm we use, How we feel, think, and act toward ourselves, others, the world, and authority comes in here. Opinion and theory, established upon sense experience, upon the emancipation of dopamine, resides in dialogue, while knowing and belief, established on being told, resides in discussion. Real or true science resides in discussion. The truth is known. All the laws of nature are established by God, observable and repeatable, unchanging. While so-called science resides in dialogue, is still in opinions tossed back and forth, called the antithesis of so-called, or seems to be gnosis or knowing in the scripture, where your feelings of the moment, which are ever-changing, are treated as a fact or truth, as in the child saying, "I'll die if you don't let me go out." You have not arrived yet and will never arrive, making everything forever subject to change. Knowing by being or having been told resides in discussion, where there is accountability for being or doing wrong, while knowing in dialogue is by sense experience, with doing better next time the limit of punishment, thus two different justice systems, with those who insist upon discussion be judged, reproved, chastened, condemned, cast out for being or doing wrong, while those who insist upon dialogue being justified in their carnal thoughts and carnal actions, in their feelings and thoughts of the moment that the world was stimulating, being encouraged to do better next time at the most. The issue of his missing out on dopamine being the concern, not the issue of being or doing wrong and not right according to what he has been told. Instead of right-wrong being the issue, which is a position where you are held accountable for doing or being wrong, which is associated with discussion, right-badly, which is an opinion, becomes the issue where you will only be encouraged to do better next time, which is associated with dialogue. For example, while the old marriage vow went for better and for worse, until death do us part, the new vow, which is not that new, includes, or until someone better comes along, where dopamine, instead of right-wrong, becomes the foundation of thought. That is, the power of dopamine, along with other drugs and hormones our body naturally produces, adrenaline, endorphin, testosterone, estrogen, etc., all associated with stimulus response, that which is of the world, instead of being told, that which is of the Father. Watch your language. Your language reveals who you are. When it comes to behavior, your language reveals your paradigm, how you feel, think, and act toward yourself, others, the world, and authority. The same is true for everyone you meet. Discussion and dialogue are two totally different political systems. Discussion is objective, where the Father, what you are told, has the final say, while dialogue is subjective, where your flesh, how you feel, has the final say. While you have both discussion and dialogue, by being formed from the dust of the ground, the flesh and the world that stimulates it associated with dialogue, and by the breath of God being a living soul, knowing right from wrong from being told associated with discussion. When it comes to behavior, which one you turn to that which is associated with the dust of the ground, dialogue, or that which is associated with the breath of God, discussion, determines whether you are a conservative or a liberal, whether you are seeking after righteousness, doing right and not wrong according to what you are told, or sensuousness, lusting after the carnal pleasures of the moment that the world stimulates.